This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, the closing percentage is lesser than it usually is. And
so
I don't
far,
think it's because, I don't. Like I said, I don't think it's because Penny doesn't know what he's doing.
No, I agree. But so far, I think we know of like six or seven players who have visited, and only one player, to my knowledge, out of that group that has committed to somewhere other than Memphis is Duncan Powell, the Georgia Tech guy who's gone to Georgetown now. And here's another very important distinction. Like, did you see last week where former Georgetown big, Drew Fielder, commits to USC on a Monday?
Yes.
And then signs, doesn't commit. He signs with Boise State less than 48 hours later. We saw it. We saw something similar not long after that, where Duke Miles from Oklahoma, I forget what team he committed to, but within 2 days he was decommitted. I think it was Virginia, maybe. He was decommitted from there and is back on the market. So, like, just because, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to hint at anything or allude to anything, but just because somebody. Just because Duncan Powell is committed to Georgetown, you know, we'll see. Given the way things, it wouldn't be that much of a shock for, you know, somebody that you think is committed somewhere else to back off that eventually. But anyway, it's a very, very, this is all so new, and I think Memphis is figuring things out as they go.
Munz, we really appreciate the time.
No, thank you, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munz of The Commercial Appeal. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this with Herd, get his perspective on that. But we also got to get to the big story from Tennessee with Nico. We have an update on the Carolina thing. I didn't get Ball Sack Sports, but somebody else got Ball Sack Sports, and I saw them. So that we'll have to get into that. And also from another big weekend of sports, we'll get into some of the best of the weekend. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I just cannot hear this song without thinking of Cartman going before Congress, trying to get stem cell research so he could have his own Shakey's pizza. All right, let's get into the list. Nico Imaliava. I think it's Aliava. There's no long vowels.
I think it's all short vowels.
Yes.
Imaliava.
It's one of those ones where I can say it, and then when you put the microphone in front of me, that's when I start to second guess it. Okay, update to the update. So let's set up what happened. So I had mentioned earlier at the top of the show that the latest rumor and report is that Nico was headed to North Carolina. Well, Brad, or whoever was in charge of socials, linked the No3 Sports, not On3, but the No3 Sports infographic, which is a parody account, and Brad or whoever said, talking about now on the radio. That report is obviously bogus, but that was not what I had seen. What I had seen was a North Carolina news person, and so then I thought, oh, well, that person got No3'd, and I saw that person. Because I always have my antenna up for the parody accounts. Mm. Like I would say,
you have to.
Of all of my skills, like, if I'm doing Taken and it's about me, my number one skill is I can sniff out the fake accounts. Like, that's not true. It turns out that, yes, that on no three sports report, like whatever, that's bogus. There is actual people that are saying that this is happening. So Brendan Sonome of 24/7 Sports, all time, he's 186 for 223 all time on predicting recruitment, where guys are going. That's a pretty good batting average. You tell me in that business you're going to hit at 83%. That's close to Hall of Fame stuff, because I don't know if the average people understand. More times than not, when you decide to report, you've been told this kid's going there. But oftentimes what happens is you report that this kid's going there, and then they go back and someone ups the offer. Like, it happened, I don't know, 15 times when I was covering recruiting for Ole Miss. Like, you saw it frequently. And this was in the under-the-table era. Like, this wasn't even, like, with everybody coming to the table. He does have Nico going to North Carolina. My overreaction from Monday, though, was for today's show that we didn't get to. I hope to God Team Nico had a deal in place. At least they had a worst case scenario, we still have this offer. Because if they didn't, I legitimately think, like, you can make the argument it was one of the worst business moves that we've seen in this era. Because essentially, what they gambled on was, all right, we've got this second transfer portal window opening that opens this week. I think it's 10 days. And we are going to use that as leverage. It's the end of spring practice. You have these young quarterbacks, but you don't have a proven quarterback. We're going to use that as leverage to try and renegotiate and get a better deal. If they did not at least have another offer that says we can at least go here for this amount of money, that was so risky, because now what Tennessee has done, and everyone goes, there's always someone desperate, maybe, but what Tennessee has basically said is, listen, man, we don't think he's worth this much money, and you and I both know how coaches think. One of their first thoughts will be, what does Tennessee know that we don't? And so all of a sudden, Tennessee's saying, no, he's not worth this. Like, it makes them, they're always paranoid. Like, what do they know? Now, maybe you do find a team that's desperate and it doesn't matter. They're willing to do that. It's like, okay, that's this era. You have the right to do that. But to me, the biggest thing is he needs to have at least some kind of fallback offer, because I don't think the market is quite as strong as maybe the Ema Aliyevas thought it was.
No, I was actually talking to one of my, like a friend on socials about this yesterday, and he's a big football guy, and his son's a quarterback committed to Kentucky, and so he was the only one to kind of take a Nico's side, like, oh, this is the most important position, and someone's going to offer. But I said, but dude, the way he went about it, also once the team say they're out, is kind of like we said about certain trades with the grit. To me, you lose your leverage.
Yes.
I told him it's almost like now, like, you get better insurance rates when you're with an insurance company. Once you lapse or you're not with anybody, I mean, you're not getting any good deals. I mean, so I didn't get it. I think timing is everything.
Yeah, my whole thing with it was they tried to – the Nico's camp tried to portray it as – well, this is what everyone does. And it's like, no one's sitting there going, if he would have done this in the first transfer portal window, everyone would have done this, had the exact same reaction, which is, all right, that's, you'd like to see your guy a little more committed, but you're like, that's what everyone does. But then when you literally make like a big stink about it and you sit out, like, I know spring football is not the most important thing in the world, but you were trying to make it a scene and you were trying to make it a leverage point to your overall point. Like, everyone just was like, you could have done this in January. Nobody would have cared. You're doing it now to try and make everyone panic and pay you more money. But it's like, I think it wound up with most people kind of going, good for Tennessee.
Yeah, I think it made Tennessee look good. I think it made them look like they were standing their ground. I think a lot of people, this is not the place they wanted to get to. And this is like the first time this has happened. And kind of laid an egg on their face, like you said, unless they got a deal.
And maybe the thing is, because when Cobb and I first started talking about this last week, we were wondering, what are the options? Like, who needed a quarterback? And so he and I totally blew past. I did not realize the SEC rule against transfer. Like, I still think that if he found someone desperate enough, I think they could challenge that and maybe have a court case, but it's not a slam dunk. But also, what I would also say about the SEC is the SEC is pretty good about when they decide something's a rule, they will kind of adhere to it.
Yeah.
And it's an SEC rule, not an NCAA rule. So it's saying if you don't, you can't, you can only transfer within the conference in the appropriate transfer window. So since he's outside of this window, he would have to sit out. Now, I would also argue, like, that's another NIL restriction. I don't know if courts would hold that up. But also, that would require the schools suing the SEC. And the SEC is pretty big on we don't sue each other.
Like, it's in the, I'm pretty sure it's a straight up like approved bylaw as well.
Correct.
And like the schools have already read through this and approved it. So,
and so then I don't know, like maybe the SEC could counter sue. You can't, like we've already said, you can't sue. So I'm not a legal expert, but
that sounds like a bad
idea. It does. I will say this. It did not seem like even SEC, like desperate SEC schools were sniffing around. It seemed like it was a, all right, that's the way that it is, moving on. So, North Carolina kind of makes some sense because you know Belichick, based on what he has on the roster right now, I know they signed a high school kid, but I don't know, like this would make sense of, all right, Bill has seemed to hit the ground running and he thinks he's got a pretty deep war chest and he's certainly acting like it. That makes some sense, but good God, $4 million. Like, I mean, that's basically right there. That's a fifth of the entire roster.
Yeah, and I was listening to Patrick this morning.
Yeah.
And Sharp, and I don't know which one of them said it, but they were saying, he feeling like this, and this is what they said, because we supposedly in Miami gave Carson, went from Georgia?
Carson Beck. So the one that really, I guess, set Nico off, or the camp, if you will, because it's unclear to me. It honestly does seem to me like the dad's driving a lot of the ship. And again, his son, whatever, like, I just get the feeling, like, I don't know if Nico's, like, all in on this. Like, we've all played on sports teams, man. It's not fun to be the guy that everybody hates. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not a cool thing. But I get it. There's a lot of money at stake, and the future's not guaranteed. So it's, but like, that was the other thing is, you know, another new media thing that I'm out on is the, you see this a lot from the old school media types that love to tell you, see, the NIL's not what, like, NIL's not what's ruining the sport. Nobody's making that argument. Everyone seems to be pretty cool with the idea of guys getting paid. But what people are objecting to is, like, there's no structure at all. That's what is driving people insane. It's not the fact that guys are getting money. No one cares about that. But it's like, we got to the day before Tennessee's spring game, and their starting quarterback just got into a holdout. Like, that's what people are like, what are we doing here? And I don't think that's some absurd thing. But, man. Now, if you're Nico, going to the ACC might help you. And, I mean, this is kind of the other thing. This is what I find interesting. The Belichick selling point of why this can work at the college level is Belichick is selling that, I'm going to get all these guys pro ready. He's basically doing the Saban thing, which is you will be prepared. I will get you all that you need to be as drafted as highly as possible. Man, this feels like, and maybe going, I don't know, maybe going to the ACC will be good for Nico. Like, there's not that many good defenses.
So who was the one that tipped Nico off? You was finna say
the Duke, the guy from Tulane, Mensah.
Oh, is at Duke.
He's at Duke, and he was getting $4 million. That was the one that set him off, not Carson Beck.
Yeah, because that's,
everybody what, knew Carson was going to get paid.
Yeah, so that's what Shannon, and they did a whole story. It was either Shannon or Peck. They were saying that even though Carson didn't have a great year, they were talking about, but he didn't win a national championship. He didn't done this. You haven't. they were saying as good as Nico is, he's still a kind of above average. He had good strides, but then he also was inconsistent himself or whatever. So they had broke it all down this morning.
Yeah, because my whole deal on Nico is I thought Nico got too much blame. Now, I also think it was true. Like, Nico did not elevate the team. I still think, like, he was throwing to pretty average receivers. They did have a good run game. I mean, they had a good run game. And
Samson's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Love him. He's awesome.
But, like,
that line was not very good.
Line wasn't good. They had problems getting healthy up front. Like, there were reasons for it wasn't set up. Like, it was not just set up to go and have a massive year. But if you're Carolina and you're looking around the rest of the ACC, you're probably thinking, this guy's good enough for us. But yes, it was the, because I also think with Carson, George, help me out. It was at the end of the year. Because what I think happened is there was another quarterback that was rumored to be going to Miami before Beck wound up going to Miami.
We was in there with a couple, but that got done quick.
So what I think happened is Miami basically told both guys, here's the amount, but there's only room for one of you. Because remember, with Beck, it was like, it happened really quickly.
Yeah, because he put a do not contact.
Yeah, because I want to say it was maybe a playoff guy.
Was it?
Oh, I'll tell you what it was. It was Quinn. Because Quinn technically still
yours,
had,
because he still had eligibility. Quinn
technically still had 1 year left. And remember, Beck originally announced that he was going to the draft after the elbow surgery. And then
they flipped.
And what I think happened is because Quinn was still playing in the playoff, and Texas knew, like, hey, we can't pay for both the guys next year. Like, we're keeping Arch, and, like, best of luck. I think what they said was, we got room for one of you on a one-year deal, because that's all they both had. Mm-hmm. The first one to take it. That's why I think Carson Beck ended up taking it quickly and moving on, because, and then we saw Quinn decides to go to the draft.
That sounds about right.
I think that's what happened.
I was about to say, I would not have been shocked, because I could have sworn there was also a little bit of smoke around Pribula from Penn State, the backup who ended up leaving during the playoff.
Yeah, I think Missouri had that one locked up pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Quinn, because...
No, this sounds right.
Quinn and Beck, because Beck ends up... Like, he announced that he was going into the draft, and then very quickly he's like, nope, I'm withdrawing from the draft, and I'm going to Miami. And Quinn was still in the semifinal.
Quinn's still in the draft, right?
Quinn, and then Quinn declared for the draft and did not, because then there were rumors.
Who is Texas quarterback this year?
Arch.
Okay, you know, it was something that threw me off. I woke up late on April Fool's or something, and somebody had, like, it was going to Ole Miss. But I knew it was some mess, because I'm like, he loved Texas. They've been that Arch was the guy they've been waiting for.
I promise it wasn't me. I promise I didn't do this.
I want to say, like, my fraternity big brother.
Somebody said something about Ole Miss doing this.
Well, no, so
time.
I know what also happened earlier is somebody said, somebody like on a podcast or something was just talking and said, it wouldn't shock me to see Arch end up at Ole Miss. It was not a report. It was just somebody just talking. Mm-hmm. And then that got picked up, and my fraternity big brother, who lives in Seattle and doesn't really, like, he's an NFL guy, and he just doesn't understand, like, he's not in the day-to-day minutia of college football and the roster movement and all this. And he's like, whoa, this has got to be big for Ole Miss. And I was like, I was trying to explain. I was like, it's not like quote-unquote fake news, but it was just one guy making a speculation. Like, and it wasn't that, but I'm sure there was something going around. April Fool's, God, it's the worst.
Yeah, I'm thinking now, I say April Fool's, but I remember reading something they were saying, Archie Manning to Ole Miss. And you know what's crazy is, that would have been super breaking news. So that's one reason I should have knew. But with the coaching stuff, though, at Ole Miss, I don't think it would have been a bad
thing.
I'm
not sure the Mannings are the biggest Kiffin people.
Really?
So you got to remember, Peyton loves the Vols, and I think there's still some bad blood about what he did at Tennessee.
With the Raiders.
No, with what he did at Tennessee.
But you remember he
yeah, going to the Raiders. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lee.
But he only had like
SC, because they got him from the Raiders. Raiders fired him. Remember, Al Davis did the overhead projector. Like, he did, like, a presentation. I wouldn't say, like, it was literally old-school
so
PowerPoint.
He didn't leave
like,
Tennessee.
Not PowerPoint. He got, like, the overhead projector.
No, he left Tennessee to go to USC.
Yeah, he left.
Oh, USC. Okay, okay.
When Pete Carroll knew that the sanctions were going to be bad, and he hopped to the NFL to go to Seattle. Like, they struck out, and then finally Kiffin took the SC job.
He was super young then, I remember. When he, like, early 30s when he took his first head coaching job.
I mean, I think he was 31 when he got the Raiders job.
So he was in his 20s in the college.
When he was the coordinator. Because he goes, so the path for him was SC offensive coordinator, Raiders head coach, 4-19 in like a year and a half. Al Davis fires him. And then he takes the Tennessee job. He has the Tennessee job for a year.
And they was just okay, and then I mean they did better than the year before, but I think they was like a game or two over 500.
They were 7-5, but momentum was good. They like had the number one recruiting class coming in, and they did the thing where everyone thought they were gonna get beat by 1,000 against Florida, and they played to like keep it close. Like it wasn't that bad of a loss. And he left like right before signing day. And so that's what got everybody upset.
Oh, one of those.
Yes.
Like getting dumped before like a major holiday.
Correct.
Yeah, like I got this one guy, he still want to be friends with her, but the thing, she dumped him before a major holiday. No, you know it's already bad getting dumped, but you know when the Thanksgiving,
said,
yes. New Year's, Christmas. I don't really look at Valentine's Day as serious, but you know the world, dude, they spent.
Women do.
They broke a record every last few years. Billions of dollars is being spent around the world on Valentine's Day, so it is considered serious and very serious.
All right, the other thing that I was thinking about, so when we were talking about with Munz, and I mentioned, I'm not, like, worried in the sense of, like, I think Memphis, like, I am worried in the sense of if Memphis is trying to be a quote-unquote top 25 program, I don't know if they have the money today to do that. Mm-hmm. Am I off base?
You're not off base because these new numbers are ridiculous. Because it been the $3 million has been, it was a just last year. It was great to get $1 million.
So the report last week, and again, like you said, this can always be the agents, whatnot. But this was I think it was another 24/7 sports reporter. At least eight teams are going to have a $10 million or more budget. Mm. Now, again, that's not everybody. But to me, like, what I think of is the bigger issue is it's not, like, if Memphis is trying to outspend Duke, I don't think they're ever going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's the standard. Mm-hmm. What I think is different is Ole Miss is now probably going to have 7 to 8 million. I would imagine Mississippi State's not far behind. And that's kind of where I think this is starting to... It's the fact that you have these programs that you've forever been ahead of, and now they basically have double your budget. Again, you're not... You're clearly the highest in your conference by a wide margin. But that's kind of not the standard they're going to get held to. Mm-mm. Like, my thing is, it's like, okay, if we want them to be a top 25 program... I'm not this guy that believes, like, they should moneyball this and be able to do it. And out, yeah, they should be able to beat the top spenders. Like, no, I kind of see how the roster thing's working. And it's like, I just don't know if they're going to have the money to be, like, in that, like, swimming in those waters.
So, the thing with money, outside of what the, who do Mookie Betts play for?
Now Mookie is with
Dodgers.
Dodgers, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I'm a Yankees guy at heart, but, of course, the Mets and up there, right? But the thing I
learned... The Mets are spending like the Yankees used to
spend.
Yes.
But the thing I learned being a Yankee fan so many years, and I still don't watch it as much as y'all, but being a Yankee fan so many years, that some of the years we spent our most money, we didn't win, right? And I remember small market teams in baseball Now, lately, it's been like whoever's spending the most money. But at one point, small market teams will make it to the, you know, deep into the playoffs. I say that to say, even in AAU everywhere, it's people that got double the budgets than me. Money will get you a certain amount of good players. But to me, that don't automatically make, you know, who's a top 25 team. I think this team this year, these were some second and third options. We missed out on a lot of first options last year, if y'all can remember
that. No, I mean, like, you, like, they were in on Caleb Love, and then Caleb Love goes to Arizona. And so, like, yes, there are examples. I guess, though, my thing is, this is kind of what Munns was touching on. I don't think they anticipated the price going up quite as much this year. And I think there's now more people that are, because, I mean, you asked a legitimately good question. We're like, where's the money coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think part of this is, I do think part of it is a lot of schools are promising money based on revenue sharing, which hasn't gone into effect yet, but they think it's going to go into effect. Now, does that mean if it doesn't go into effect, there's going to be a lot of schools that have made empty promises, and then there's going to be a barrage of players available in June? I think that's on the table. But what would concern me is I still think there are schools in the area that are, like, they have so much more purchasing power than Memphis used to have.
So these are two things I want to point out. One, I'm going to say we got a little money. This is what I'm going to say. This, is, I think, is the most important thing. I ain't going to say the most important thing in college basketball, the most important thing in our state in college basketball. P.J. Haggerty have not entered the portal.
Correct.
To me, as long as that happens, that shows Memphis has some type of power and some type of money, because he is a All-American, and I know every school we're talking about, including Duke, want him, and has called his phone and has laid out an offer. And this guy has not committed anywhere. That's one. The second point I want to bring out, what we get, what people joke at Memphis about getting the AAC All-Stars. With P.J. Haggerty and 3, 4, 5 of the best players in the league, I do think you can win and be a Sweet 16 team. I think if you get the better,
if you get the best player off, yeah,
and the AAC to come, if you get like 80 or 90% of the best players to enter the portal, you already know them. They look up to you. They've been to our arena. We have the best in the conference. We so Penny do have a look. I think if you keep him and get them, that is enough to compete nationally, I believe.
That's probably fair.
You know, not as the sexiest.
Because I mean, they've only missed out on the one though, right? On Landenborg.
I mean, the
where he go?
Michigan.
I mean, the Georgia Tech kid, there was a...
I'm more so thinking of those guys coming from inside the conference, you know?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. And Lindenborg was clearly going to the highest offer.
100%.
And
wasn't his other option the draft? Isn't he eligible this year?
Yes, he is. But, I mean, I think there's also the issue, like, they got Yaxel to stay at UAB, and he took a hometown discount. And I think it was like, well, this is going to be like my one payday.
Yeah, I heard that he was having some high offers. Somebody was telling me a UAB kid was, I'm like.
Oh, no, I think it was at like 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo. They say that I was like, they were like a kid. I was talking to some of the guys, they were like the kid from UAB. Like, people are coming to him pretty hard. I'm like.
I know this. The offer was so good that Andy Kennedy congratulated him on Twitter. His old coach congratulated him on the offer that he got.
So he didn't stay at UAB?
No.
He said a hometown discount. What hometown?
I think last year he could have gone in the portal last year.
Oh.
And Andy kept him, and I think kept him on a hometown discount. And then this year the number was so good that Andy congratulated him on Twitter.
Have he committed?
Yeah, he's at Michigan. Or he's going to Michigan. I don't know if he's there.
Oh, he's at Michigan. Oh, that's what we're talking about. Oh, yeah. UAB. Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. Yesterday was quite the Sunday. We'll talk about it when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Zen Sports app is getting a major upgrade soon. Zen Sports will be launching the new state-of-the-art VIP Play app later this month. You'll be able to bet on more than 200-plus sports leagues and parlay nearly every bet, I should say, period. I'll also have my own same-game parlays, as will many of your other favorite sports talk hosts. So head on over to zensports.com/VIP play to learn more and to claim an early welcome bonus offer on VIP play when it launches in Tennessee later this month. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. All right, Herd, I'm sure you were locked in on the Masters yesterday. I'm sure that was on TV1, no questions asked. I will say this. I'm a ride or die Rory guy, and so yesterday was quite the exorcism. But I am glad that the casuals got to understand why being a Rory McIlroy fan is such a roller coaster. Because there are moments that you sit there and you go, this guy's Tiger. Like, he can do things that nobody else can do, and then he will just be 80 yards in the middle of the fairway and dump it into the water, and immediately everyone just starts panicking, and it's just this unbelievable roller coaster all day. But the thing that I thought that was noteworthy was the day was so exhausting that I finally understood the gif that everyone uses on the it's done when Frodo at the end of Return of the Ring or Return of the King, when he finally puts the ring into the lava, it's like, it's over. Like, you're just spent. Like, I wasn't even like the putt drops and like, you're obviously happy versus any, but you just felt spent because that was like a 4.5 hour roller coaster. So shout outs to Rory for that. But like, at one point it took me like 10 minutes to even like feel enthusiastic because I was just so exhausted. But this was a story that just came across the news wire, and I wanted to get your reaction on this. So from Tim or Dave McMiniman of ESPN, Luka Doncic's number 77 Lakers jersey was the NBA's most popular jersey for 24-25 based on NBAstore.com sales, according to the league. The Lakers were also the number one team on the merchandise list. This was the note that I thought was insane. Doncic becomes the first player other than LeBron James or Steph Curry to hold the lead in jersey sales since 2012-13 when Carmelo Anthony was playing for the New York Knicks. Now, there's a couple of things that obviously make like this that will play into the like when Melo goes to the Knicks, every Knicks fan's now buying a Melo jersey. So like that obviously pumps it up. It is insane though to think about it. For 13 years still, LeBron and Steph still were just like number one holding the league down. Also, Curry finishes the season number two. LeBron was number three. The top 10 were rounded out in order by Celtics' Jason Tatum, Knicks' Jalen Brunson, Spurs' Victor Wembanyama, Timberwolves' Anthony Edwards, Grizzlies' Ja Morant, Thunder's SGA, and Denver's Nikola Jokic. It does speak to when a lot of the flyby national commenters are dropping their 30-cent opinion on Ja with the Grizzlies. It is still insane to think like a top 10 jersey sale, and it's not exactly like been nothing but flowers for the last 2 years. Like, this is a different level of superstar than we've ever seen.
Yeah. To your first point that you made off air, the power that you have with being in the markets of L.A. and New York is pretty crazy.
So many people.
Although it's impressive that Luka got it, I don't think it's a surprise. Like, it's something that you think could have happened.
It's a new person superstar on the Lakers. Big name on the Lakers.
So, and you know Carmelo was so beloved and everything.
And the Knicks, like, New York is a basketball town, and the Knicks are the story. Like, we can roll our eyes at it, but like when the Knicks are good, New York gets all in.
Yeah. So both of those stories make sense. Like you say, the other two make sense too. It's impressive how much Steph and LeBron has controlled basketball for the last decade. And then back to your point, I was going to even say earlier, like, I do think Ja Morant, I know people look at me crazy when we were talking about trade value, but I do think he still is a borderline top 10 player. And I think to have the jersey sales in a market like I love Memphis. So when I say stats, I'm sure most of our listeners are educated, but sometimes I have to debate with people in the urban city and the barbershops, and they don't fully understand stuff or they're a little more passionate and not listening to the sound side of it. But Memphis has, the last time I checked, the lowest TV deal in the NBA. The lowest, it was some other stats that they had, was amongst the lowest. So when you take that.
It's like, it's either them or the Pelicans.
Yeah. So when you take that, and the Pelican is as crazy as New Orleans is, I mean, people come to Memphis too to vacate. Like if you go to the Bass Pro over here,
yeah.
And if you're downtown, I meet people from all over the world. Sometimes I'm at the Starbucks downtown right
Jeff,
here across.
Jeff did a story this morning. There was a family from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Kid was, it was his 18th birthday present, and he's just over in Germany. He's adopted the Grizzlies as his favorite team, and they flew in yesterday to go to the game.
So that happens. Like I say, this Starbucks right here, smaller one, is like next to the Western and stuff. Right? I didn't did some, because I try to stop at a Starbucks, and I'm not trying to give anybody credit, but you know, when you're on a computer business place, yeah. Starbucks, Panera, places like that. And so Memphis do get outside of the dark cloud we have. There's a lot of people come in and out of here. But we're saying that, Jeff, and I'm not knocking Memphis when I say this, although New Orleans is a dark spot, it is a lot of stuff that goes on in New Orleans. I mean, like, downtown New Orleans.
Definitely a much bigger destination.
Yeah.
So I mean, they host Super Bowls.
So I was going to say All-Star games. They host, and you would think of New Orleans, yeah, it's crazy in the neighborhood. But downtown New Orleans, I mean, people are phenomenal coming around from around the world. I say that to just say, with all of that being said, Ja Morant to still have a top 10, top 7 is phenomenal and shows how you can't take your eyes off of him. This shows how big his movement is. This shows the kids and even the stuff that happened last week or 2 weeks ago, not to be negative, with the, you know, celebrations. But it actually got that much attention because of him.
I think the other big reminder was this weekend, you've seen on the internet was videos of people doing the celebration.
We're talking
at the AAU tournaments.
Beyond that.
I'm talking like college soccer.
No, we're talking European League soccer. Yeah. Like Australian football.
Yeah, it's like every this thing went truly viral.
Crazy. Global. Well, somebody planted it, he didn't come back with a gun, did it?
No, he's sticking with the it's not a grenade. It's
negativity.
All the negativity that he's launching. But like,
and I actually said that. I know I'm not trying to get credit. No, you gave me credit.
No, he owes you at least a thank you.
Yeah. And the way he called it, not because I was thinking like a grenade don't look as bad, but if it's somebody, let's say the police, somebody was that actually is worse. You're throwing a grenade.
Yeah, no, but I think that was also what made it hilarious to me. Like to me,
it's so unrealistic.
Yeah, it's so
hilarious.
Cartoonish. Like it's Looney Tunes. Like it's Wile E. Coyote.
He said it's a ball of negative.
He said it's all the negative words he's taking out of his mouth and he's throwing it away.
Took the what's the name off the top of it?
He had a line for that.
He took the what's the name off the top?
No, he said he does it with his mouth.
He takes the words out of his mouth. He's all the negativity. He's taking it out of his mouth. That's the pulling of the pin.
Okay.
And then he's throwing it out into the world and he's not hearing it.
Hold on, so the negativity coming out of his mouth?
He's taking all, he's internally and harnessing all the negativity.
Okay.
He is then, I guess it comes out of the mouth.
Yeah.
He's then taking it out of his mouth and then he's throwing it out and he's not hearing it.
That is quite creative for him. I like that.
Artistry.
I like that, Ja. Phil T. Ja, I like that.
That is
camp,
it. That is.
Whoever came up with that.
That's don't tell like the story, that. Tell your story.
Yeah. Yes. I like it.
Yeah, no, I'm with
it. Now I'm a little confused about the Biden because then it's making it sound like it's your words that are negative. But everything.
I also love celebrations that have crowd participation. Because now, like, what's happening is, like, he's throwing it and then the crowd goes, boom!
But then it'll be a bomb again.
Yeah.
And then we get in trouble again.
I think the.
Fans can't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Ja didn't do that.
I think now
he actually has proven his point even more so. With it going viral, like the league's now going to be in the position where like they have to celebrate it.
I got to send you a video when we get off air, like you showed me the AI video. It's it's another video that's a lit. That's a little.
No, the AI stuff is getting really good.
No, but it's this other video that I got to show you that got out of control.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. I got to go to Rory's caddy, Harry Diamond. After Rory misses the putt on 18 that would have won the Masters the first time,
and they are going to a playoff and everyone's inconsolable. We would have taken this at the start of the week. That's a good pick-me-up. Yeah, we could have lost everything, but we all know how the story ends, so it makes it better now. Coach, always good having you in here. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Coach, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.